Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, for this June 4th, 2012. We're going to have a fantastic show for you this evening as we bring it to you like we always do every Monday, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. And I just want to bring it to you as you listen to Word Sexy Radio. Fantastic show that we're going to have on the show this evening. P.L. Sparks and Leslie S. Howell. They're going to be here today and we're going to be talking with them.
Check it out.
We're going to be doing our thing as we go forth, as we always do, on Word Sexy Radio. Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're going to be bringing this thing to you like we always do every Monday at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We do it because we love it, and that's how it is. And we're glad that you're able to come on in and listen, because we got two fantastic guests that's going to be on the show this evening, and we're going to do this thing with them and talk to them, and we're going to talk shit like we always do, and hopefully we don't offend them, but that's what we do on Word Sexy Radio. And before we go any further, let me see if we got some of our people here. DL, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
It's good, always good hearing that sexy voice. You know, I missed it last time when you were supposed to be on here. But I understand duty calls and things happen. We understand that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just was buried.
Look here, sweetheart. We understand. You don't have to apologize. That's the way it goes. It's just like that when you were popular like that. So, you know, you got to do what's, you got to do what's right and take care of it. And we're sexy. You'll be here. All you got to do is say you want to come on, and it's right here for you.
Well, I appreciate it. I was just traveling and in and out of town, and schedules got crossed, and I apologize, but I'm here now.
Well, hopefully I don't want to offend you too much, because, you know, sometimes I get a little nasty with the mouth, but hopefully
I don't see you no mind.
Okay, all right, well, that's okay, it's fine, but you know how I am, so as long as everybody understands when they come on the show, they know what's up. And who else do we have on here?
Leslie Howe.
And how are you, Miss Howe? How's it going?
Well, I'm fine. Just got off of work trying to make it here on time to get on the show, so...
Well, we are glad, and you know, just in case everybody didn't know out there who's listening, we do have other jobs, some of us, because some of us aren't rich yet, so we're getting there, but we do have to eat, so the books are being sold or are selling, but still, you know, sometimes we got to work and do some other stuff too, and you know, that's just the way it is. So for all of you that think that every author is rich, you're wrong. So we just wanted to clarify that because, you know, I work too, so, but I'm getting there, though. I mean, I believe that it's going to happen. It's coming, but it's not about the money. I just love writing. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and let DL and Leslie get into their books and stuff. But first we're going to start with you, DL. Kind of tell people, because I know people know who you are, but kind of tell people who you are and let them know what's going on with you.
Well, I am Jill Sparks. I write romantic suspense. My very first novel came out long, long time ago, All That Glitters. That's usually the first one that everybody remembers me by. And my second novel was The Lies That Bind. Then there was the third one that came out this January, which was Between Friends. And that's currently the one that I've been running around crazy promoting. It's gotten really great reviews, and it's been very well received. I'm very excited about it. So I've been really out a lot pushing that one, and I'm currently working on not necessarily the sequel to that one, but I guess what would be considered a follow-up to that one.
Okay, so you're doing all this stuff in between being sexy and walking around looking fine, right? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. That's good. Okay, so you got some stuff coming on, and you've been doing a lot of traveling and doing, have you been doing any conferences or anything like that?
Yes, actually, I just came from Pittsburgh, which actually happens to be my hometown, and I did their Soul Pit event up there, which where I was the featured author. And I spoke there, and it was really cool being back in my home city where I grew up and getting to meet a lot of different authors and, you know, people who wanted to be authors. You know, it was really great. We had a good time, and I got to see a lot of family and friends. And so I had a good time. And that's pretty much, you know, what I've been doing lately, just running around in these 5-inch heels. Promoting
okay.
and speaking and doing my thing.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's really good. And it's always good that you can get a chance to get in there and you know, even though you're out there doing business, still that you'll be able to have some fun as well, because a lot of times we do these conferences, we go places, and there's nothing to do but just be there. You know, book
right.
club, they want you to be there and they want you to have fun. But what I usually try to do when I go somewhere, I try to make sure there's a party or something in my suite, or I'm going to have something going on so that, you know, there's something to do besides just be there and sell books and talk about your books, because we know that's your first love, but also you want to get out there and do some other things, you know. So,
and that helped. That definitely helped. My cousins kept me. I was barely in my room pretty much the whole weekend. I was out. I barely slept. So it was a fun weekend. Even the day that I spoke, I was running on probably about an hour and a half from sleep. And that night we went out and just catching up, and, you know, people I hadn't seen in a while. Had to go to hit a couple of different spots that, you know, we used to go to when we were in high school to eat, and just hanging out pretty much all night, and literally until it was time for me to go to the airport, I was running just out and hit the airport running.
Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. But let me ask you this. Now, this is a question that a lot of times they ask preachers, but I'm going to ask you because, you know, it goes along, I think, with people that are, you know, celebrities, and you definitely are, all of you, both of you are definitely celebrities. I'm going to ask this to both of you. When you go back home to your own hometown, a lot of times you're not accepted as you are in other places. How did you feel about that? I mean, outside of your family, did you feel like you were accepted as who you are as an author?
It kind of both. My family, I'm always going to be what my family calls me, Taz. So I'm always Taz,
Taz
for them.
I wonder what that stands for. Okay. All right. Okay.
But, you know, other than, you know, the friends that I grew up with and went to school, middle school, high school with, they, I guess they're still kind of not sure how to take me. I could tell some of them were kind of not sure how to approach me or how to, and I'm still just me. That's my biggest thing. I'm still that same person that ran the halls, that was cutting class. I'm still that same person. There's nothing really about me that has changed. I just write books. There's nothing about me that has changed. So that was one of the biggest things I want everybody to understand is that, you know, the only thing that's changed is that there's a chance you may walk up in a bookstore or Walmart and see my book on the shelf. That's the only thing about me that has changed. So, but my family, you know, they're like, whatever, just are we going to get something to eat or not? Like, they're like so unimpressed, which is good because that keeps me grounded, you know, to be able to be around some people who could care less one way or the other, whether or not my book's on the shelf or not. I like that.
I don't think that they don't care. I think that they just know that they know you, who you really are. They know the real person.
So,
you know,
and
a lot of people
the
people that was in school with you, they knew you a certain way, but then now they think, okay, like I said, everybody thinks that authors, and most, a lot of them are, and I'm not saying that not all authors aren't, but they think that a lot of authors are rich and famous and what they see and all this,
right,
you know, because, you know, the book's on the shelf. So they're like, well, I don't have a book on the shelf, so they must have something going on. So, you know, they think that. So they think that you just forgot where you came from and stuff, and that's usually not the case. There are some that do act like that, though.
Definitely.
You know, and they have that asshole attitude. And, you know, I mean, I understand you got a movie deal or something like that, but that doesn't mean you got to be think that you're better or whatever. But some people, that's just what they have to do. So I guess that's it.
I'm not one of those. Like I said, I enjoy being able to go, especially whenever I get back home. I enjoy being able to go home and just Taz and just chill out. And whether it's with
I'm
old
find out
friends,
what that Taz is about. I hope they don't mean you a Tasmanian devil and nothing like that.
Well, it's a little combination of a lot of different things. They claim I was bad when I was little, and then there are some other things that went along with it as I got older. I don't, you know, it just kind of stuck. But
I'll get you offline on that one. We'll be talking about that online. Okay. So, Leslie, let's get to you, sweetheart. How are you this evening? Are you still there, Leslie?
Yes,
okay.
I'm still here.
Okay, we thought we lost you there for a second there.
I just got on mute because I had the navigation system on.
Oh, okay. I did hear something back there talking. Okay. So it wasn't you talking shit. Okay. All right, now let me ask you this. How are you this evening, and what's going on with you? Tell us about you.
I'm doing fine. I'm author of two books so far, and then I have I was in an anthology and thought and I'm just so tongue-tied right now. I was in an anthology, and I'm also currently working on two other projects.
Right. Okay. So have you been doing any touring or anything stuff besides working the grind and all that? Have you been able to get a chance to go out and do some book signings or anything?
With my first book, I did a lot of touring and going around, but I was laid off when my second book came out. So what I did was I still did the same as far as promoting the book. I just didn't physically go to the places. I did a lot of online promotions with Ella and just a lot of other different avenues, you know, to do it that way.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, I know how it is to be laid off because I've experienced that myself. Like I said, we real people, y'all, those that are listening. And if you got any questions while I'm here at this spot, why don't you just go ahead and call in the numbers, 347-215-8539. This is Word 60 Radio. And also the chat room is available if you want to get on the chat room. I did put it out to some of those who wanted to get it so you can get in and tune in. If you got questions, if you don't want to ask them online on the phone, you can definitely you know, do it on the chat room. And I usually have two other guests, hosts that are usually here, D.B. Hint and Miss Cotton. And for some reason, they're not here, so I'm going to get on their ass when they do come on because they're supposed to be here right now. But I'm just glad that y'all were able to come on and take time out of your schedules, you know, to be here. So, you know, to come on and talk with me and just kind of tell me what's going on with you. Now, D.L., you said you had did you say you had something that was coming, getting ready to come out, or are you working on something currently?
Well, yeah, my book Between Friends came out in January, and I'm currently working on the follow-up to that right now. So I'm really just running around promoting and touring with that one and working on the follow-up to that. So that's really it in a nutshell for me, just writing and on the road for the most part.
Okay, so let me ask you now. You write romance suspense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you kind of dabbled in any other genres, or do you think that's the genre that you want to stick with right now, or what is your goals in your literary goals? Like, say, the next 5 years, what does DL need to be doing or want to be doing as far as her,
I have
her
tried my hand at, you know, erotica, and it was fun. That's just not my niche. I definitely would have to say I am definitely a romantic suspense author, just because that's just me. I love
what's the difference? What's the difference in romance and erotic? Well, there is a difference, but I want to see what your difference is.
Romantic suspense and erotica, it's well, obviously, the just the titles alone, romantic suspense and erotica, the story structure, the character development, the everything. I mean, there's just a huge difference in the way the stories are put together and, you know, all of that. I just enjoy building, you know, the suspense that builds as I'm writing the story, the way the characters come to life, especially with Between Friends. You know, these characters have pretty much literally taken on a life of their own. They have their own Facebook pages. They, you know, one of the characters has his own fan club. He has his own T-shirt. And I enjoy the fact that they've come to life that much and that the readers have fell in love with him so much and these characters so much that they've pretty much taken over. So right. Now it's more or less them driving, and I'm just along for the ride. So I'm just having fun with them at this point.
Right. And I did that with a couple of characters I had from my Scandalous Motives, but the thing is people were starting to believe these people were so real. It's funny how you do it on Facebook because they were so into these folks and wanting pictures and wanting to see stuff and all kinds of stuff and falling in love with these people as if they were actually real. And it's funny because we created them. So I understand
right.
Where you're coming from with that. And that's interesting, very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go and see
you
if I can
to.
Find those friends.
I think you have to, at some level, you have to separate yourself from the character. And when I say that, I mean you have to give them their own voice. You have to give them
right.
Their own everything because at some point it goes from you telling a story to a character telling their story. And
right.
There's a difference. And a lot of writers, especially new ones, don't kind of get that in the beginning. So I go through a lot of different – I put my characters through the ringer. Like I'll tell people in a minute, I'll put my characters in a corner and make them fight their way out. It's like,
right.
Okay, here's the problem, now what you going to do? And people look at me funny like, what do you mean by that? And it's like, okay, I'll give them an issue or a problem or this is a storyline or whatever the case may be, and, you know, they got to tell me or show me how they're going to get out of it. And that
right.
Brings them to life. And
uh-huh.
To me, that makes them, you know, more realistic, more three-dimensional. And that's
okay.
Pretty much what happened with these characters. And I've gotten emails from people. This one lady, woman over in Spain is hilarious. Like, she just fell in love with Tripp, and she wants to know where he lives. She wants to know. And I'm like, okay, he's not real.
But
the fact that, you know, she's, like, in love with him, that lets me know I did my job.
You actually have pictures of these characters and all that on the Facebook
Page? Well,
what
I do is I will go out on my own and I'll search the interwebs and I'll find people that I think would closely resemble these people if they were to play them in a movie or on TV. And I will put them pictures up on my walls, or I'll put them up in a spreadsheet, or however I want to do it while I'm writing. And that's how I cast my books. When I'm writing, that's who I'm seeing. I'm seeing these people that I've found. So I'm seeing different people. I'm also hearing different voices. I'm thinking, okay, who would this character sound like? Like, for instance, in Between Friends, the one character, Lincoln, in my head, he sounds like T.I. So throughout the whole book, every time I had to work the scene with Lincoln, all I heard was T.I.'s voice. So during the promotion of the book, that's what I would say. You know, I was telling these people during the promotion and when I was working on the book. So the readers started to say the same thing. You know what? Okay, he does sound like T.I. So it kind of started like this snowball thing. And he took on a life of his own as well. So it's like I forced them to come to life and tell their own story. It's like, this is you. What are you going to do? I'm just directing. This is your story. So you got to do all the work. I'm not doing all the work. So I'm just here to direct.
But that sounds good. Now, Leslie, how do you do your character development? Do you have something similar? What do you do when you come up with your characters and in your genre of writing?
My characters, they practically create themselves. So as far as names and all that type of stuff, I pretty much let them, you know, tell me who they are. And then from that point, as I write the characters, I become the character. So pretty much the same process. And they basically got to let me know what's going on. If the story isn't, you know, flowing, if it's not coming to me, I don't force it. I just set it to the side. And once the characters are back, they're letting me know what's going on in their lives, we get started again. And it's practically what's happened with my first book, Lion Temptations. I've been writing that sequel since 2008, practically. So being that the characters wasn't letting me know what was going on, I put it to the side and wrote Pleasure Principles. And from Pleasure Principles, I'm currently writing Sexpionage, which is not like a continuation, but just the same character in another story. And since I started back with Bianca, which is the main character in Pleasure Principles, now my characters from Science Sensations are like, hey, what about us? So that story is coming along great now, and I do feel that I will finally be through with Blind Temptation.
All right, well, you know, y'all just, I'm going to tell y'all, what y'all have done is y'all made me feel like I'm sane again, because definitely my characters definitely talk to me and tell me what they want and what they want to do, and I just definitely, when I write, I definitely try to give them what they want and put them in, and a lot of times I have these crazy characters, and they're mostly female most of the time, so they come to me with this crazy stuff, what they want to do, and I just try to accommodate them, you know, by giving them the space that they need. Like you said, you direct them. Well, I try to give them that space so that they can be able to be themselves and be that entity that they want to be when they get out there in the books, so that when they're in the world that we have created for them, it just magnificently fits. And I just love it. You know, I just love creating. So
yeah,
I understand exactly what you mean. Right, that's what I understand exactly what you mean. And of course, a lot of the characters have pieces of us in them. But the thing is, you know, it's just fun that you can create this world and make people believe it so much that they're talking about these characters, like you said, like they're real people. And the Facebook thing is very good. The only reason why I still don't have the folks that I had created, because I had five characters that I created on Facebook, but people was getting so crazy with them. And because I write erotica, they was doing all this sexual stuff that they ended up, Facebook kept getting rid of the people, you know, because they had so many people just joining. Like, I had a couple of women characters every day. This woman that I created, Waynell Devereaux, who was one of the main characters in my series, Scandalous Motor series. This woman, my goodness, seemed like every day she would have at least
I know at least 100 to 200 requests, people poking her, all kinds of stuff. I want to meet you. I want to see you. These, I mean, they were just going crazy over this woman, you know, and she was very beautiful. The person I picked for, you know, just like you do, you pick how you want your character to look and you think this who you would want to play this part or whatever. And it was not somebody that was famous. I was always trying to find somebody that's not famous, but maybe a model or something that's out there. And this woman was so phenomenal. I mean, these guys were going crazy. I want to meet you. I even put her where she lived in Paris so they wouldn't be looking for her in the United States. And they still was trying to get to this woman. Well, when are you coming back to the States? Or can I come over and visit you? Or whatever. I'm like, it was just funny. And I would say stuff, and I tried to use the voice of a woman to talk to them. And these guys were silly, actually talking to this picture, believing it, that it was actually a woman. So it was really fun to do that. And, you know, I had this guy, DeMarco Reed, and the women were on him, and, you know, this guy was muscular and abbed up and, you know, tight, you know, just everything. And they were just, like, really just into this guy. So I understand where you're coming from when you create these characters and then you put this Facebook thing. That is so funny because there's so many people out there that are doing stuff like that anyway. And then you create this character, and you put a couple of pictures on there, they just believe it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just so it's, you know, it's just funny. And I'm gonna have to do that again with a couple of characters for some new stuff I got. But those characters can't come back because Facebook was getting upset because they wanted to see pictures of these people with no clothes on and all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, some kind of thing because, you know, it's sexual. So I had to make the characters be the way they are in the book. And because I write erotica, that's why I was asking you about erotica and all that with romance.
I
because
write
some
a lot
people
of
I think
as well.
Okay, yes, that's what I was asking. I was going to come to you. But the thing is this. When you guys were talking about, okay, now, I'll get Leslie in on this because she writes erotica. But when you were saying romance, I understand the difference. Romance is a little softer. But I think a lot of people take erotica and think it's porn, but it's not. Because the difference between erotica to me and porn is there's a storyline that goes along with the sexual experience that's there.
Yes.
So it's kind of the same thing as what you're doing with the romance, except you got that suspense in there, like it might be some murder going on, it might be some sex in between or something. But the thing is with erotica, every time a lot of people, they start getting hot, and that's the objective when I write it, is to get you hot. If I ain't getting you hot and want to make you stop or to play with yourself or do something or get with your man or your woman, then I ain't fucking doing what I'm supposed to do. So that's just the way it's supposed to be. So I had my characters like that on, you know, the characters I create on Facebook. So these people was actually running after these people, believing it, you know. So that's the objective. So, you know, for me now, Leslie, you say you write erotica, and I know you do. Okay, and I didn't get your book. Okay, I'm sorry. Your book was supposed to come, and I didn't get it.
I'm going to make, because I had my niece to send it to you, because the hours were so crazy, and I never have time to go to the post office. I said, send this book. Gave it to
okay,
her.
Okay, well,
I think she was just,
well, you know,
she was scared to tell me,
you know,
I need
it.
So I'm going to send it to you myself. I'm off tomorrow.
Okay, well, send me your book. And, Leslie, I would definitely read it because I don't read everybody's books, but I would definitely read it because, you know, there's some books that I look at. And the reason why I don't read everybody's books is because, you know, a lot of times when you're writing, you don't want to get everybody else's thoughts in your mind, you know, what they've written. That's the only reason why. It's not that I think, you know, your book's not good or nothing like that. It's just that, you know, I take time out and research stuff. Like I read Earl Sewell. I don't know if y'all know Earl.
I love his books.
His books are great. Now, the last book I read by him was Cougars, and that book was so great. I love that book. You know, and, you know, I just try not to, like I said, I try not to read a lot of people's stuff. But, D.L., I'm looking for something from you too, sweetheart. Now, don't forget. Y'all gotta get
book. I will not. I'm going to do it myself tomorrow, myself, first hand. When you sent the email, my intentions were to get it done, but at that time I had so much going on. And
y'all some sexy women.
Morning.
Y'all both, I know both y'all women, y'all just got men after y'all and all this, and y'all in your time, I know. But anyway, you know, it's just like that. But if you get a chance, I'm going to make sure I get you my, if you don't have my information to send it to me, I'll make sure you get it. And,
I have it.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, I just enjoy, you know, that y'all both do with the things you do. But like I said, with the suspense stuff, that's fun too. And see, another reason why I asked you that about, and I asked you, and I'm going to ask Leslie, if she had to write something else or if she was choosing them, would you be choosing to write anything else but erotica, or do you just love erotica? Or, I mean, have you tried anything else?
Well, my first book is actually more of a drama chit lit book. I kind of was stepped into the erotica thing. It was like, because I fell in love with Zane at the library. That was the first book I ever read. And then from that, I just started buying her books, reading them. And I thought, I wonder if I can write that, because I tend to be shy. I wrote Stormy Weather, which was a short story. And it was published in Norris Online Magazine. And at the time, I was in a Yahoo online group, and everybody in the group, I let them know that the story was published in her magazine, and everybody read my, well, Leslie, you know, you could, you know, write like that. So from that, that's where Bianca started. From that, it went from me being in Zane's Succulent Chocolate Flavor to anthology. And then you don't have to read that one to get Pleasure Principles, but it do have a drop-off in Pleasure Principles where if you want to know what happened on the airplane, pick up Zane's book, and I do encourage that in, at the end. But she don't need my help, but I'm appreciative because she's helped me more and more ways than she knows. And so now with erotica, I got Sexpionage coming out, which I wanted to do. I'm always looking to do something different. The first book was drama, second book, erotica. I wrote another book with another author. Right now it's sitting on the shelf, but I think it's a fabulous book, and I think once we can work some things out, it should come out as well. But it's another drama book. And with Sexpionage, it's like a twist between erotica and Ocean's 11 type stuff.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to be all the high-end heist, all that type of stuff with some erotica in it. I believe in the storyline. I can't stand to read a book that's erotica where one moment they're on the floor, next moment they're in the car. I need a storyline. And that's one thing that I got a lot of great reviews about as far as Pleasure Principles is concerned, because they enjoy storylines just as much as they enjoy the sex. So I write across all genres. I'm not going to pigeonhole myself in one box. I got to be everywhere.
Right. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, just in case y'all are interested. I mean, I don't know. But well, you know, of course, you know I write erotica. I got a lot of erotica out there. But I do write in other genres. But they do complement the erotica, because I don't ever want to ever leave erotica, because I love it so much. And I know I'm explicit with mine. If you haven't read any of Red Snapper, then you would know that Red Snapper is very, very detailed and very I say the words he's thinking anyway. So if he stuck his dick in her ass, he stuck his dick in her ass. I'll say that. I'm not going to get you thinking.
Oh, that's me too. I'm wrong.
I mean, you just put it. You just say it. But my thing is I love paranormal. So I got a couple of paranormal books that I have out there already. Two series that I'm starting. One is called Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress, and the other one is called The Peculiar Ones. And they're different stories. One is the first book I mentioned deals with the paranormal side of like the succubus, the incubus, the spirits that come to you. You know how people, when you lay in the bed and you feel there's something like you can't get up, but you're halfway awake, half asleep. Well, you know, they believe those would be succubus or sex demons that are coming to you trying to get you. Well, I got that kind of thing going on. Plus, I have the vampire thing, because I would tell you, nobody can tell you that the vampires aren't making money, because they are. Okay, the people that are writing those books, they're making them. So the Peculiar Ones is a vampire epic that I have that started back slaves that were brought here. You know, I kind of had it where there were some slaves that was brought here from Africa, and they was infected with the vampire virus, and they came to the United States, and it starts. It's kind of historical, because I have a degree in history, so I had to put some of that in there. So I brought some stuff up from 1865 on up in this series, and it's nice. It's going to be hot. It's out there, and it's going to be tight. But I want to do that, and also I have the erotica is still there, because those two stories deal with sexual. I mean, you can't do a vampire story without sex. It's got to be in there. So, and the same thing with the succubus thing. I mean, it's all sensuous. So you can throw that in there and do this and still have that good story that's going on, the fighting amongst the good and evil, and still have the good sex going on and all that. And you can bring some people into a genre that they never thought they would be reading because it's something different.
Yeah,
because
I think we as African-Americans, we get to the point where we're stuck in one genre and we feel that we can't expand and go outward. And I believe that if you can write, I mean, not everybody can write everything, and I understand that. But if you have a true passion to write, you can write just about anything you put your mind to. You just have to do the research. You have to do the research if you're not familiar with it. If you do the research, you can do it. And that's why I feel me and you saying you and DL, all of us, we can do just about anything we want that we put our mind to. Vampires are selling right now, but I'm too scared to write vampires. So.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you right now.
Too, but the scary thing, I'm too scary because I get my mind distracted into what I'm reading. And if I'm writing something scary, that's what I'm going to dream about, so that's not me. But high-end, high sex, drama, all that type of stuff, I'm with it.
Okay. Well, I get that and I understand that. And my thing is you're right. You can if you put your mind to it. When I write stories, I don't write to African-Americans. I write to readers. Who likes to read? Anybody who likes to read is who I write to. So I'm not stuck. And you're right. A lot of people write, and I'm not dogging urban fiction. Don't get me wrong, please, people that are listening.
I love urban fiction.
But every time when we put books out, even people that don't write it, they're putting, it's always the skyline in the background. It's always this and that. We got to stop being the same way with our covers and be put other people in our books. Like all the people in my books are not black people.
That's a big thing.
Because I don't want everybody to think, okay, it's all about black. It's not. I love my color. I love my people. Don't get me wrong. But I'm writing to people who read.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And a lot of people don't understand. Even with Eliza Bynum, like the main character, Terry, her husband was Cuban and spoke Spanish. And a lot of people, like, that freaked a lot of people out. Like, I didn't. At first, he didn't start out that way, but I wanted to try something different because, like you said, the world is not just black and white. So, and it's definitely not all black. So I said, well, let me try something different. So I made him, you know, he was a completely different, you know, ethnicity. So he spoke Spanish. Whenever he got mad, he started speaking Spanish. It pissed her off because she didn't understand him at the time because she never took the time to learn to speak Spanish, which was a sore spot in their marriage because he felt like, okay, you're not taking the time to learn my heritage. So, you know, now I'm mad at you about that. So, I mean, it all kind of folded together, but you're right. It's not just us, you know, and that too is not a broad representation of who we are. I've gotten, you know, when I meet with book clubs, whether it's Skype or in person, you know, I get so many book clubs that'll tell me that how they like the fact that my characters are usually upper middle class black people or not the average, you know, career fields that they see in regular books. You know, Terry in Eliza Bynum was a psychologist. Her husband, you know, he was a financial analyst. You know, they don't see those types of careers in books. You know, in Between Friends, Tripp is a DEA agent. And Lincoln is an APD officer. So it's like we can do other things besides strip and sell drugs.
Basketball. Besides being a basketball player or a businessman or something. Yeah.
Right, or be a baller and or be somebody's baller's baby mama. Or, I mean, there's other things that we can do as black people. And that's just the route that I chose to take. And, you know, my sex scenes, I have one book club that I met with recently. She was just like, I don't know what it is or how it is you come up with these formulas for these sex scenes because they read all of my books. And she was like, but you got it down. She was like, because it's perfect. She said, it's not too raunchy. She said, they're perfect. She was like, how do you do that? And I just told her, me as a woman, when I write my sex scenes, I get inside my head as a woman. And I think, okay, as a woman, what do I want? What would I want from my man? If me and him was just straight vibing at that moment and feeling each other at that moment, what would I want? And that's what I pour out onto my paper. And they were like, well, yeah, you definitely nailed it because they weren't into the, you know, all of that extraness. She was like, because you had me wanting to call somebody and you had, and that made me feel good. Because I thought, you know, it was kind of scaled down, toned down, wasn't raunchy enough, whatever the case may be. But they were like, no, it was perfect. So, everybody's writing style is just different in how you approach it and how you put your spin on it. And, you know, it could work either way for everybody.
Right. And that's what I was just ready to say, and I'm going to let Leslie comment on that as well. I was just going to say that, you know, it depends on what the person is looking for. If they want, and like you said, you write romance, so it's not Harlequin, but it's enough to get them where they're feeling like it's not too much. But when you read my books, I mean, you're looking for that. I mean, that's what the person that is, I think, that reads my books, you know, they get that. They get that raunchy whatever. And it's, okay, I ain't going to lie, it's raunchy. It's fucked up. Maybe because I'm a man, I don't know. But I say what's there, because some people, well, that's what they want. Maybe they don't want that. So if they don't, then, of course, they have choices to read what they would like to read.
But that's what comes with developing your voice as an author. When you develop your voice as an author, then people automatically know what to expect from you. So when they pick up a book by you, they know what to expect from you. So they wouldn't go pick up a book from you expecting to hear my voice. They wouldn't pick up a book by me expecting to hear your voice. So that all comes along with the package and developing your craft and working on your craft and making sure that you stand apart from everybody else. If we all sounded alike, what's the point of all of us writing books? We all just get together and write one big giant book and be done with it.
You're right. You ain't lying. But you're right, though. You're absolutely right. And I'm not trying to write like you. That's why I don't write like you. And,
exactly.
And I understand what you're saying. So, but my thing is, you know, she said you nailed this the way she wanted to get it, and that's great, and that's a good thing. But then you got some that might have came to you and said, or me or whatever, like I said, everybody's got their own opinion on how they want to read something. So, like you said, the voice of D.L. Sparks is that she does it sensuously, and she does it in a manner that will get you hot even though you're not saying the words. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And
I just like to throw it in there. I mean, she took his throbbing all-ass dick. That's just me, though. But people that read my books, though.
You let them know what type of book it is anyway.
They know. They know what they're picking up. Exactly. They know what they're picking up.
Our books and her books, so you already know what you're getting into.
Exactly,
to the author that you're picking.
And that's what I was saying. When you develop your voice as an author, people automatically know when they see your name, they automatically know what they're getting. Now, if you haven't developed your voice as an author and they're not sure, then they may pick up your voice trying to figure out, okay, I'm not sure what I'm about to get. But if you develop your voice as an author, then they automatically know, okay, if I pick up Leslie's book, I know exactly what I'm going to get. Or they go searching for her voice because they know what they're going to get and that's what they want. They go to the bookstore looking specifically for her. Or they'll go to the bookstore looking specifically for my book or your book or whatever. That's the purpose of working on the craft and developing your craft and strengthening your voice so that when the reader does go into the store, whatever it is they're in the mood for, they know exactly where to go to get it and who to look for to get it from.
And I
tell you what, if people
are reading across genres, because even as an author, even though you may write in just, one genre, two, three, whatever, I think you still owe it to yourself to read cross genres. That way you won't stray from your voice. You won't, what I'm saying? You won't, I do my drama with Blind Temptation or whatever. I still have sex in there. It's not as hard. It's hard sex, but it's not as hard as the Sex and Pleasure Principle because it's two different genres. So I do try to write cross genres, but at the same time, you will know by the disclaimer on the book, erotic, thriller, whatever, what you're getting into before you get into it. And I think that's the beauty of it. You should read cross genres so you can know what's out there and what. If you do decide to write a book that's kind of hard, you'll know what they're looking for. If you're trying to write a book that's probably it's sexy but it's not as hard, you'll know what to write.
Right, and that makes total. Even with the book that I have out now with Between Friends, there's a contrast in the book that I was trying to show with the characters because there is a love triangle that's going on in the book, and I wanted to show the contrast in the way that the two guys treated this one girl, and it came across in the sex scenes, and the readers caught that. They could tell by the way the one guy treated her when it came to sex and how their sex was as opposed to the way the other guy and their sex was. It was night and day. So you should be able to turn around and flip it if you have to, and go left if you need to. And, you know, reading, you know, cross genres or reading, you know, just period is good in general. You know, I read everything, and anybody who knows me knows that. Like, I'll read everybody anything. I'm just not finishing up one of James Patterson's books. That's just
right.
me. I just like to read. So that helps
and
me.
A lot of us do, but like I said, it depends. Like, I read, and I'm definitely going to read y'all books. I have read one of yours already, DL. But the thing is I just like just doing the time. Like, I'm just finishing up a book. So a lot of times when I'm doing a book, I may not read somebody's book at that time. But, yes, you're right. I love reading, too. And I like to, you know,
big time.
get into different stuff, because I like to see how people do different things. But a lot of times, like I said, when I'm in the process of writing myself, I try not to read too much, because I don't want to, you know, not that I'm going to steal their ideals or anything, but I just don't want to have something that I'm working on and then something kind of creep in.
But
so
you know what I've learned?
Favorite.
A lot of people say that, but you know what I've learned
right.
over time is if you read, I can't write without reading, only because that read somebody else's work while I'm writing helps me zone in more on my own voice. Because I'm reading somebody else's work, and at the same time, I'm also working on my own stuff. So I have
to make
that balance there. So I can't, I have to read, or I shouldn't say I have to, but it helps me if I am reading while I'm writing. And I read, like I said, I read it like Jodi Picoult. A lot of people haven't read, you know, a lot of her stuff, but I learned the art of research from reading her books while I was writing. Jodi Picoult researches down, like, turning over rocks. And that's how I learned the art of research, in my writing, not necessarily taking anything from her book or from her writing per se. I learned the art of research from reading her books, because her writing and her research and her everything is so detailed. I was like, okay, you know what? Reading her acknowledgments, things like that, that let me know, okay, I really need to make sure that I'm on point if I'm going to write about a certain area, a certain, you know, job description, whatever this may be. I need to make sure I research it down to the letter, because she does that so well that you just feel like you're sitting right there next to whoever it is she's talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with
Patterson. I feel the same way about Eri Jerome Dickey's style of writing and research. You just learn
right.
so much from it.
Right. Saying the same thing with James Patterson, that part of the whole suspense, and I learned that just from reading his books and Dean Koontz. And so I'm one of those, I have to kind of be reading something while I'm writing, because it kind of, I'm a right brain, left brain kind of person. Both sides of my brain have to be occupied while I'm doing something. I have to be, whether it's the TV's on, music, something, both sides of my brain at all.
So now I'm a dumbass. No, I'm just playing. I'm pretty much like, it's very hard for me to write in solitude. I need something to be going on while I'm writing. And I know that's crazy.
Right.
I read my last books at work, but when I was off work the whole time, I could not write a book to save my life. And then
I was like that in college, though.
Yeah.
So I went to Starbucks, and guess what? I'm able to write at Starbucks. And
yeah, even
like,
in college, I couldn't study when it was quiet. Like, that drove me crazy. Because then I'm constantly wondering, like, looking around, like, why is it so quiet? Like, that's when I would get distracted, because it was too quiet.
Right.
I understand that. Well, you know,
I
definitely understand that. I understand. And when I write, I am not sitting here with nothing going on. That's true. I mean, music or something, or TV or something, definitely. That aspect, yeah. But there's definitely nothing wrong with what you said. And I understand why you do it that way, now that you explained it that way. I mean, I can see where you're going with that, and I can see how you can get something from that by doing that. So I have no problem with that. I really don't.
Yeah,
and,
it's a big help. It definitely is.
Differently, so... I mean, it just depends on the writer. Every writer writes different. Most of them
write
solitude.
That's like, I don't know if y'all know.
A little glass of wine or whatever, and some just need some drama going on around them. Some need to read.
I need a bit of everything.
Right, that's
what,
like, that's
if
like.
I draw inspiration from it or what, but that's what I need around me. Solitude and quietness is not my thing when I'm writing. It's not.
No. That's just like this one author. I don't know if y'all know T.L. James. When she writes her books using the method is so different. You know how we sit down, we write, and we put it on, use Word or whatever word processor that we may use. She uses Excel when she writes her books.
I use that when I'm doing my, like, if I'm sketching out. I don't outline, but
right.
I usually outline backwards. I have
right.
things before when I start my books. So my chapters kind of laid out. I'll go into Excel and I will kind of lay out, add stuff to it that way. But I don't use Excel to write.
She writes her books like that.
And another thing that I just found out that was really wow, where has this been all my life? I got a Kindle. I guess when a new Kindle Fire came, I got a Kindle. And I saw where it had docs on it. I'm like, I wonder if I send my manuscript to myself, what would happen. So I sent my manuscript to myself, and so I can actually go into my manuscript on my Kindle. It looks like it's in book form, and I catch so much stuff that I wouldn't see on my computer. And I'm like, that's a real neat thing that they put on there. I mean, you can actually use your Kindle to go through your work, edit, add what you're going to add, but it'll be in note form. You'll have to, you know, go browse over it to see what it is, but that's a real good technique, too.
Now, my favorite way of editing, and I think everybody who knows, and I think I've said this before, my favorite, and probably I'll probably use it until I can't write no more. When I edit, I always read backwards. I'll print my document out, and I'll flip it over, and I'll read my document backwards, literally from, like, the bottom to the top, because that way nothing makes sense. All I'm reading is sentences. Nothing is flowing, so I'm catching stuff because nothing
right.
– because you know how when you read an order or you read a book, everything starts to look the way
right.
If you start reading stuff backwards, nothing makes sense.
Okay,
so everything.
How are you doing this backwards, sweetie? How are you doing that?
I've never heard of it, but it's
like, is it upside down and you're reading it like
all
that?
All you do is print the book out if you can, by piece or however many pages at a time you want to print it out, flip it over, and start. Like you're reading it like a book, you're reading it backwards. You're starting at page 30 instead of from page 1. And you just start from the bottom and work your way to the top. And it just doesn't make sense that way. So all you're reading is sentences. That way everything is jumping out at you because nothing is moving. It's not flowing the way it's supposed to. So if anything is out of place, it's going to stand out. But if you're reading, like I said, if you're reading, okay, of course you get in a groove, everything starts to fit, even though it may not be there or it might be there and maybe it's spelled wrong, but it looks right because you're on a roll. And your eyes and your mind starts playing tricks on you and you miss it. But if you're reading it backwards, you can't miss it because it doesn't make sense. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait a minute, that shouldn't be there, or wait a minute, I missed that word. So I've done that. I've been doing that for a long time.
I'm going to have to try that. Never tried it before.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Usually when I usually do that when it's time for my final edits, when I get my edits back from the publisher, and that's usually when we have to do the red pen edits. They'll send me my final manuscript in hard form. I'll get it, and I'll flip it over, and I'll just start from the back and work my way to the front. And I usually catch everything that way. And that's when I pull out every sheet with the red marks on it and I FedEx them back to them that way. But it definitely is a good way to catch stuff because your mind will start playing tricks on you and everything will start looking right because that's what your mind is telling you. Sometimes you might look at a word and you know it's spelled right, but your brain is telling you it's spelled wrong. So after a while, if you're reading, you just start skipping over stuff because your brain is, like, making you think a word is there that's not there or making you think a word is spelled right that's not. So, you know, if it's backwards, you can't help but catch it.
Okay, see, let me ask you something. I'm going to get off the subject for a second. These red shoes on here, is this you? Is this your Facebook page?
No, those are not mine, but I love those shoes, though.
Yeah, but I mean, that's your page, though, right?
Yes, I love those shoes.
Okay, well, why you didn't put your own feet on there? I know yours is nice.
I had a pair of mine up there a while ago, my gold glitter heels up there a while ago. They were perfect shoes.
Okay.
But I saw those, and I love those. I wish I could find those, though. I love them.
Okay.
I'm definitely a heel girl. I'm sorry. I am. And people will talk about me, laugh at me, but I wear heels pretty much everywhere. All the time. I feel weird if I don't have on heels.
Really? Wow. Well, that's all right. Okay. That's a good thing to know. Anyway.
Tolerate it. I said, there's nothing wrong with them if you can tolerate them.
Yeah, and a lot of people are like, I do not see how you walk in them things. I'm like, I think now it's just, I don't know. Even my, like, during fall, winter, I got boots that are like 5-inch heels. I love heels.
Oh, well,
I'm
like, if it's not worth it, I'm bowing to you because, I mean, I can do the heels. I think the highest I've ever gone is 3 inches, maybe 5 feet.
See what? If you ever go up to 5, if you can get up to 5 and get used to it, you're going to be hooked and you'll never go back. I promise you. You are going to be hooked. Because then when you do wear flats, whenever you're going to feel like something's wrong.
So let me ask you, how's your legs doing? I mean, are they perfectly shaped now because of your heels and all that?
I think my calves, everything, because of the heels.
Oh, yeah.
There has to be.
I bet you. Look, I need you to accept me on your Facebook page here. That's the reason why I went there. Well, I mean, I got a new one now because the other one was just overdone,
okay.
and it became a, you know how they, I made it into a page, and I can't change it back now, so I had to restart.
Oh, okay.
Because once you make your page into a like page, it's done. They won't let you go back.
I thought you had to make a different page for that. I didn't know that you could change your page into a like page.
Well, you could, and I had so many people on that one, I couldn't really put no more. I was over 5,000 anyway, so...
Right,
so I'm kind of I got to redo it, huh?
I said, all right, big baller.
Well, you know, I ain't no big baller. I just think that I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I have a Red Snapper page too that's out there now, and I'm trying to get some of my like people that I like Leslie. I want you. I think you already accepted me on that page. I think, but
I believe I have, and I sent DL a request. I believe this area.
I'm trying to get.
I think I got
DL. I'm trying to get Miss DL to hook me back up, but you know.
Did you send it? Because I didn't see it.
I just sent it though, so you know, you probably see it. But yeah, I'm just trying to get you as a friend again. But anyway, I should have never done that. I wish I would have never changed the other one, but it's done now. So I'm telling people that's listening, if you don't want to change your Facebook page into a page, a like page, don't do it because you have to ask permission to get it back, and then they'll take forever to, do it if they're going to do it. So I already had this other page, so I'm just going to go ahead on and do this thing. So that's it. But, accept me, please.
Well, Leslie, you definitely going to have to try the 5-inch. Definitely got to try the 5-inch.
I got some high ones, but I can't do no stilettos and all that kind of stuff. So. I have some high heels, but not really.
Ladies, I'm gonna ask y'all a personal question. This is the only personal question I'm gonna ask you too, because I'm not. Normally we get freaky and sexy on here, but nasty. But we're not gonna do that tonight, because
okay.
I don't have no backup. So I'm not gonna do that. My other guests aren't. My other hosts aren't here. But are you ladies married?
Yes.
No.
Yes. No. Okay. Who's
I'm
married?
Not.
Who's not?
This
I
is
am.
DL. I'm not.
Oh, DL, you're not married. And Leslie, you are?
Yes.
Okay. So now the next question is your significant other, whether you're married or not, how do they look at your writing? Do they support you, or how does that work with you? Especially doing erotica. Leslie, I'll start with you since you're married, and then we'll get into DL.
It was shock at first. Didn't realize I had it in me. Because I'm so, I come across as being shy and timid, but I'm really not. Even
your picture
not.
Looks like that. Your picture's got everybody fucked up, too. You think everybody thinks that you're this shy and innocent person and you're really a freak. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, Virgo.
She didn't respond to that. Whoa, I thought she was going to respond. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but, I mean, love it. It's good for me.
Okay, so you got that answer rolling so they find out what's up, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, D.L., tell me about you, sweetie.
The last relationship I was in. I thought it was a good thing because he was actually a writer as well. But he was more on the screenwriter side of it. But we really had a good time with it because we would help each other with scenes and stuff like that. So, he enjoyed it. The relationship just didn't work out. But everybody that I've, ever dealt with or that came in contact with that has found out what I do, they're pretty much either like, wow, that's interesting, or, pretty much real receptive about the whole thing.
So in public, are you D.L. Sparks, or are you your other name, your alter ego, or your real name?
I'll tell everybody, if you know what the D stands for, then you know me. In public, quote unquote, I'm not D.L. Sparks. I'm Taz. I'm friends. I'm somebody's sister. I'm somebody's, all of that.
Of course. So what are y'all zodiac signs? I'm trying to get to know y'all women. I'm trying to figure y'all out here. Leslie, what's your zodiac sign?
I'm a Virgo.
You're a Virgo? Okay. And D.L., what are you?
I'm an Aries.
I knew that. And I knew you was a Virgo, too. You know why? Because most people that write, I'm a Virgo. Most people that write erotica, I can't believe it, but I've done a little like a unofficial survey, and everybody seems to be a Virgo that's really deep into this erotica. Zane is a Virgo.
Yeah, Zane is a Virgo.
I mean, it's a lot of people that are Virgos that just get into this erotica thing, and, I don't know. It's just that way.
Because Virgos, we're outgoing people. We're very creative people, but at the same time, people, when they look at us, they think innocent, because a lot of Virgos, I know Zane even looks innocent, but really and truly, I think the writing come out that way because we want to know there's more to us than meets the eye.
Right. Well, I'm a September 1st Virgo, so,
how you doing?
All right. That's good. So your birthday is Labor Day this year. Okay. But let me get to this Aries woman. Let me say something about this Aries woman, because I've had some dealings with some of these Aries women. One thing I like about y'all is y'all know what y'all want.
Let y'all know.
And once you go after it, there's nothing stopping you from getting it.
Oh, yeah. And see, Aries, we are known for being extremely blunt, extremely to the point. We'll let you know how we feel. And if you don't like it, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Y'all freaky. Anyway.
It is what it is.
I've encountered. Anyway, it is what it is, and right. And I'm not married either, just so y'all know. I am definitely not married. Totally not married. Not looking for a wife. Unless the right one just happened to just sweep me off my feet, which I don't know if that can happen.
I'm definitely not trying to get married at all.
I want to have some fun, though. I'll do some traveling and all that, visit and do some things. It's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just... I've been married before, but I'm just not trying to be there now. Nothing wrong with those who are, if that's what they want to do. And if you're with the right one, that's great. But Red Snapper just don't want to be married. And I'm going to tell you what I've been experiencing. When people find out that I write books, and they find out I'm Red Snapper, because, when I'm on the street, a lot of people know me as that, and then there are some that know me as who I am. My real name and all that. But the thing is, I've had some women that found out I wrote erotica, and they were like, I don't know why they think that. And Leslie, tell me if you get this too. Why do these people think that if you get with them, you're going to write about them and put them in the book. Like, they sex is that damn good.
I have no idea.
You're going to write about me? I don't even write about you.
Because I don't want to think you're going to get some money. I don't want to write your life story. Write your own story.
My thing is,
I don't need to do that for you.
They think they state that the sex is going to be that good that you got to write about it. I mean, damn.
I'll tell somebody in a minute. You piss me off, I will kill you off in a book. That's just me. Now, our situations are totally different. I don't be writing about my sex. I'll just tell you, I'll kill you off. So,
you put them in there and shoot them, even if they just rob her for a few minutes. Okay.
Exactly. I put you in there and I'm going to kill you off. So.
Dang.
It is what it is.
I hear you. And I like that. But, I don't know why they think that. And then I've had this one woman tell me that she didn't want to go out with me because she was worried about groupies liking me and all this stuff. And then with the radio show, and, you know, I'm usually real raw. Like, tonight I'm being real nice to you guys. I'm very nice. Because normally I'm raw and I'm talking shit and I'm talking about doing this and doing that and what I want to do to you and stuff like that. But and a lot of people like coming on the show because we do talk normally and there's no scripted stuff. I do it on purpose. I don't like to send out questions to people and they memorize what they're going to say to me. I want you to come on and be yourself and be comfortable. That's the reason why I do it this way. But my thing is, I'm usually more raunchy, but tonight, of course, it's just me and you girls. So,
you don't want us to get you, huh?
Well, you can get me if you want to. I don't care. I just don't want to offend nobody. You know, I just want to make sure that you come back again. I know D.O.'s been on here before, and
I'm
I want y'all to come back,
because
I want y'all, and yes, I want you to come back and enjoy being on the show and be yourself when you come here. That's what I'm about. So if I can get you to be you, then it's fine. That's what it's all about. Because we usually talk relationships and stuff like that. After we get the book part out, we get into talking about why stuff is the way they are, because a couple of us is going to get together. We're going to do a book. We talked about the Steve Harvey book and how fucked up it was and all that. I mean, you know, that's just our opinion. I mean, not saying it was bad, but some of the things that was in there was just not good information. Let's just be honest, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to put out something that can actually help each other, not give you game or take game and play game, you know, write books back and forth about game. We wanted to get a few authors together to actually write about relationships and what you really do. Because I'm a firm believer that if you treat someone, first of all, let me say this is me. This is my Virgo side. This is me. Okay. I'm a firm believer. If I'm with you, then it's about you. It's all about you. If I'm going to be with you, it's about making love to your mind, and then your body will follow. So my thing is I'm going to get to you. And it ain't game. I'm just going to be me and just show you that it is about you. Because if I make it about you, you're going to make it about me. But
right.
See, and that's taking your time and just actually taking your time with someone. I'm talking about in the bed, out of the bed, everywhere. When you're in the bed, you don't jump on this person. You just take your time. Foreplay is not just in the beginning of sex. It's all through the sexual experience that you're having with that person. That's the reason why it will last longer. A lot of people are so microwave with everything. So they're rushing stuff. So my thing is, you know, if I'm going to do it, that's what I want to do. I want to be that to you. I want you to be able to say, yes, this man knows what he's doing with me, okay? And if I don't know, I want you to be able to tell me, because communication is definitely important.
Right.
So my thing is, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and play like I'm the greatest lover in the world and you can't tell me shit about eating pussy or whatever. You got to tell me how you want it ate, because everybody don't want this shit ate the same. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I'm talking about. So we want to write. I was going to try to come up with a book that we could actually explain, you know. And one of the chapters I wanted to do is make it about your partner, you know, because you know it's not kissing their ass. It's just showing them that you really care about them and you really want to take your time out with them. So I just think it's important. If I'm gonna be with you, I'm gonna make it about you and I'm gonna show you that it's you. And it ain't gonna be no game and it ain't gonna be no hurry up this and that, because all this 90-day rules and all this stuff that Steve Harvey came up with and all this. It's always a way to deter all that and play all that, because I feel like if you got me, say, D.O., I was with you, and you was putting me on a 90-day whatever the hell he's talking about shit, how you know I ain't fucking somebody else? Why I'm waiting on you to come off in 90 days? Or how I know you ain't doing somebody else? I mean, that shit don't work. Hell, I cannot fuck you for 90 days.
I think the thing of it is with the Steve Harvey book, I mean, I enjoyed the movie, but I couldn't get with the book.
No, I'm just saying. Right, well, that's what I'm saying.
I think each case is a case-by-case scenario. You can't use the same thing for everybody.
Right. But the thing is the game has got a way you can play the game. Because if you saw the movie, you saw that the game was being played. It was okay when the women was playing it, and then when the men started playing the game, it became wrong, and the women got mad because they played the game back on them. So why play a game when you can just be yourself?
Right.
See, my
right.
thing is if you know you don't want to, like in our case, okay, we say we don't want to get married, right? But why can't you just put everything on the table when you meet somebody and just tell them what you really want instead of just lying? Because a lot of people lie because they feel like they ain't going to get what they want if they tell the truth. But me, personally, I will put it on the table and I will tell you, okay, look, I'm not trying to get married. I'm not really trying to get in a relationship. Now, if we want to hang out and enjoy each other, we can go out and do some things if you would like to do that. And if we have sex, fine. If we don't, we don't. If nothing else, we become good friends, and that's that. But put that on the table, and then you got to, of course, sometimes you got to reassure, because when feelings get involved, if you do start having sex, feelings will get involved some kind of way, somewhere, somebody. Then you're going to have to renegotiate the contract and put it back out again to make sure that it's correct, if that's what y'all still want to do. But the thing is you making an informed decision to mess with this person or not if you choose to. But when you sit up here and you tell somebody, I like you and I ain't married, blah, 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 and you really got this woman over here and all this and you lying, that's what makes people get upset and want to get revenge on your ass, because you throw the damn lie. Well, you just should have just put it on the table. I'm finding that when you tell people the truth, you still don't get what you want.
Right, because they don't hear the truth no way. And that's when you come back and say, but I did tell you X, Y, and Z.
Right, but you got to tell them. That's why you got to keep reassuring it. Exactly, so you got to keep reassuring it, though, so that they understand that it ain't just something that was just made up, okay, that you really was being honest with them. Okay, hold on, y'all. Let me see. We may have a caller that has something to say. Caller, state your name, where you're calling from. Okay, maybe they just want to listen. All right, well, we'll just continue on with that. So, but you understand what I'm saying. So my thing is I'm at the age right now in my life where I feel like you tell the truth, the person makes this decision. If they do something and they get into it, they can't say that I didn't tell them, because I was honest with them, and I continue to be honest with them. But when you go at them and you give them bullshit, then you expect to get bullshit back. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
So, you know, BL, I'm telling you, baby. No, I'm just saying. All right. I'm just saying. It's just the way it is. So, I mean, I don't know. But I think that when people play games, you should expect to get what you put out there. So, and I just thought that, you know, the whole Steve Harvey thing, and I'm not dogging him, I'm not getting mad at him, I'm not saying his book is whatever. I'm just saying that, you know, when you want to make money, you put something out there, you can make money. Now Michael Bazin, he's doing the same thing with his maintenance man now. So, I mean, you know, it's you know, a moneymaker, if that's what you want to do. People's going to buy it, they're going to go see it. You know, he's talking about who he wants to play the maintenance man, or trying to get Idris Elba and all these different folks, because they want to make money. So are they really helping people in relationships? Are they really helping people by putting this stuff out there? That's the thing. So we wanted to try to do that.
Well, I definitely.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just about to say, I definitely understand where you're coming from about the, you know, people misrepresenting themselves, and that's pretty much why my ex-relationship is an ex-relationship. So having said that, I am going to have to let you guys go.
I know, because I just got the word from your publicist who is listening. Yes. Look,
you
know, I appreciate you, sweetheart. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for tolerating me. And like I said, I was nice to you tonight. And normally you was on the show with me before. You know how I was dogged. I didn't dog you, baby, but I was, you know, I was on you. And yes, you are sexy, and yes, I would. Okay, so, but you go ahead on, okay?
Well, thank you for having me on, and anytime, just let me know.
I sure will. And when you get something new, you just let me know. We'll get you on.
I will. As soon as I come down to the friendly I'll let you know. But I'm headed to Mississippi in a couple weeks, so I'll check in with you when I get back.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thanks again. It was nice talking to you, Leslie. All righty, bye-bye.
So, Leslie, that was me and you. So, Leslie, now, we can talk erotica. What made you get into erotica? Was it, I know you said you was reading Zane and you saw how good it was and you decided you wanted to go in that.
It was more of a dare to myself just to see if I could do it. And from the response I received, I could do it. So I did it.
And I know you can, and you sure did. And you know, I think that that's how I kind of got into it myself. Because, you read stuff, and not saying that other people can't. You know, they can't. It's not that they can't write or anything, or you think you can do better. But then again, yes, you can. You see some of the stuff that's out there, and you're like, wait a minute. I could have wrote this, or I could have wrote something like this. So, you know, I mean, and I understand that. So my thing is, I kind of got into it, I think, because I saw some stuff that was out there. And I was like, really? This is good, but let me give
it a shot.
I just think a
storyline should be just as strong as the sex. I just think that,
right.
I mean, sex should be there, but you have to have something to help it flow.
Exactly. Because you can't have them just screwing the whole time. They got to be doing something else. They got to eat.
A lot of erotica books to do. They just, you know, they screwing. It's all they're doing is they're through screwing and they're getting to the next screw. But when I did Pleasure Principles, I just didn't want it to be just about sex. There's so much going on in the book that'll keep you just as entertained as when you get to those sex scenes.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what it's all about, though. I really do feel that. And my thing is, you can have this sex in there, but like I said, as long as there is something that's meaningful, why are they having sex? Not just that they just fucking, you know, why are they having sex? What's going on with what created the sex scene? Why did the scene become what it was? You know, those are the things that people, you know, when we write, well, when I write, that's what I try to do is try to make it where, you know, to give people an understanding of why this happened, what's going on, what made them get to this point, you know. And like you said, the sex has got to be good. You don't want to just have some stuff in there. It's just point. But but you got to have more going on than just that. Well, yeah. And
well,
like I said, I know.
That write erotica that have a great storyline. I commend that because it just shows their talent to me. It just shows their talent.
Okay. Right. Well, you know, I, like I said, there's a lot of things that goes on in the books. I've had somebody tell me, well, they didn't tell me personally to my face, but they wrote a review saying that there was a lot of sex in the book, you know, the storyline was there and everything, blah, 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 but they wasn't doing protective sex. They didn't have protective sex. So they actually gave me a low score. Like 3 stars or whatever, because they said I didn't have time for, I didn't show people putting on condoms or say anything about that going on. But my thing is isn't this supposed to be fiction? Isn't this supposed to be a fantasy? Isn't this supposed to be, I mean, in your fantasy world, do you think about having protective sex, or do you think there's AIDS in your fantasy world? Do you think that there's, you know, those kind of things?
I'm a firm believer in safe sex. So my character, I try to make it her reference to condoms and stuff. So because I think just like TV, books do often imitate life, where people, they read what they read, and the people in the book are not protected. And they look at TV, the people are not protected, so they're not protected. I mean, it's sad, but that's how some people live. They live through entertainment.
Well, yeah, I guess they do live vicariously
through stuff. If it's not happening to the people in entertainment, it won't happen to me.
Okay.
So I'm not knocking what you did, because, you know, a lot of authors, they're like you, they're about the fantasy. And so most people, when they have to break out to put on the condom and all that kind of stuff, they kind of mess up the mood.
Right.
But I just try to be, you know, clever about it when I throw in
her reaching for the condom or, you know, whatever. You know, just to let them know she
right.
is a person that you...
I mean, I guess, I mean, it's only a line, so I guess if I wanted to put that in there, I mean, I could put, well, he reached for the condom and put it on. I mean, it's only one extra line that you got to put in the story, the sex mm-hmm. scene. It's not going to really hurt it that bad if that's what people are looking for and about to have. Then I can see that. So, I mean, it's nothing wrong with that. I just don't, when I do these things, I just don't do it. But it's nothing wrong with those who do it. I'm not saying, I was just wondering, you know, your opinion on that because you write erotica and, you know, how you felt about that. And I understand that. There's nothing wrong if your audience and your voice are looking for you to do that. But right now, you know, if what I'm doing, and we talked about that earlier about, you know, voices and stuff like that. I just don't see it in there now. I mean, I'm not trying to portray don't have sex, you know, don't have protective sex or anything. I'm not doing that.
It's
just that.
It's about responsibility. I mean, really, regardless if the TV show had it or if the author had it or if the movie people had it, it's still up to you to protect yourself. I mean, you can't blame Red Snapper or Denzel or whoever because you didn't use protection.
Right.
So it's really a personal choice if you want to add it into your sex scenes or the movie, TV, or whatever.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Me, personally, I just don't be thinking about no damn condom while I'm writing. And I guess that's what why people don't think about condoms when they're having sex, because we're not letting them think about it. I got that. But, yeah, so I'm just wondering about that because, you know, a lot of people, you know, have a different opinion. I understand that. But what's coming up for you? What do you got that you're going to be doing next? I heard you said you were doing some. What would you say that you have coming up next for you?
I'm currently writing the sequel to my first book, Blind Temptation. So that's in the works. Coming along great. Finally, characters are talking to me.
Is that the book that you said has took you since 2008 or whatever to? To do that? Is that the book that you were talking about? Okay, we must have lost her for just a second. Well, when she comes back, we're going to do that. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play a song until she comes back in, and we'll get that going, and that'll be something we can do until she comes back, because sometimes that happens on the show. We lose our person. So let me play this one real quick.
I need,
my friends, just to be with you.
Be with you.
Take to the days of
you. perfect, well, we ain't it, because we painted our own porch with a me and you that can never be tainted. Because real love embodies all colors of the spectrum. Mix a few greens with your reds and your blues, create some new hues, then you rehang it. Start over, even though your friends gon' doubt you, and all them other niggas trying to scout you. It gets so tiring, but I'd be lying if I said that I'd be better off without you. And when I think of walking out you, smiling the way they make me feel like I'd be lost without you. Me and you are the only threat to us, till death to us, I'm standing next to you.
Well, we're back now. We're Sexy Radio, and this is Wes Snapper, and we lost our guest, Leslie Howe. She'll be coming back. There's been some difficulties where she's been calling in and calling and dropping, so hopefully we'll get her back here in a few minutes, and if we can't get her, then we'll have to see what we can do next time. So looks like she won't be coming back, so we're just going to go ahead on and finish the show with a few songs that we have. And I just wanted to thank all the guests that came and all those that are listening and those who've called in to 347-215-8539, Word 6 Radio. We thank you all for that. And definitely thank DL Sparks for coming on and doing her thing. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to play a few songs and just take it on out. And, you know, we just thank you all for your support, because that's what we do here on Word 6 Radio. So what I'm going to do is play one of my favorites by Michael Jackson called Break It Dawn. Right here on Word 6 Radio.
Break a dawn. I don't want the sun to shine. I wanna be loved. your goodness, your heart.
Maybe have a caller here that might have something that they want to say. Caller, state your name, where you're calling from. Okay, we don't have a caller. That's cool. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to continue on because we only got a little bit of time left, so I was just getting into the groove, and I think I want to play a little bit more, so we're going to do something else right here. We're going to do one of these songs that I like. I'm going to do right quick by Kim real quick. Can You Feel It?
Girl, good baby.
My baby's on my mind, girl, please come home.
My baby's on my mind.
This has been Word 60 Radio, and we thank you all for coming on and listening to us, as we always do, and we thank you for calling in and coming on the chat room and doing all the things that you always do to support this show. We thank you very much, the guests that were here. We thank DL Sparks, and we also thank Leslie Howe for coming on. And we thank you all for all the things you do and supporting them and letting them do what they do. So we thank you very much for that, and I'm going to go ahead and bring this to you because I just want to do that. I'm letting you know that there's going to be a new book from Red Snapper, Scandalous Motives 4 that will be coming out here in July. And there's going to be some other things going on that we're bringing to you. But we just wanted to let you all know that we thank you for your support, and we love how you do it. We thank Ms. Cotton, who is also a guest host on the show, and DBN, we thank you as well. We know they're both out doing their thing this evening, out on their outings and doing what they have to do, books out and stuff like that. And we want you to support the authors that were here, even though we didn't give them a chance to actually say how you can get their books. But if you go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all that, I'm sure you can find them. And support them, and let's do that, okay? We would definitely want to do that and keep it going and keep it real. So until next time, this is Red Snapper, and I just wanted to thank you all for supporting us, and thank you for letting us do what we do.
Girl, you just don't know. Last night was incredible. Yes.
Nor Kelly.
Touch my chin.
Last night, I felt the skies open up and rain down heaven. Last night I felt the sun, the moon and stars come together. Last night I heard an angel speak to me, said us forever. And while we were making love, I saw visions of a tropical river. Last night I touched the dream.